You're listening to the Corner House podcast, available from www.cornerhouse.org.
Hello, and welcome to this week's Corner House podcast. I'm Sarah Perks, of course, your regular host and the Programme and Engagement Director here at Corner House. This week, we're going to look at the new French film, The Big Picture. And for all you student filmmakers out there, we're going to update you on Exposure's new talent in Move and Image. And to celebrate the start of the school holidays, Cinema One is being taken over by young people this Saturday. We hear from the team behind it. And of course, we have our staff recommendation of the week and our mini What's On guide. So let's kick things off with this week's film focus. So we have a new big French release. It's called The Big Picture. It's got stars in it like Romain Duris and Catherine Deneuve. And joining me this week, I've got regular contributor Andy Willis from Salford University. Andy, tell us a little bit about the synopsis of the film.
Well, the film's adapted from, I think, what was a very successful novel called, surprisingly, The Big Picture by Douglas Kennedy, which was published in 1997, so it's taken a while to get to the screen. But it's really, I think, a film about identity, about dreams, about ambitions, about creativity, and also, alongside that, a film about adultery and murder. So basically, Paul, who's the main character, is a high-class lawyer who seems to have everything that he could want in the world. Beautiful wife, etc., etc., big, lovely house. And as we know, that kind of very stable situation is never a good thing position to be in within a film. So quite soon, it all starts to unravel. He starts to suspect his wife may be having an affair, and it goes into a kind of Hitchcockian mode for a bit of it, but I wouldn't say it was a kind of Hitchcockian film all the way through, but it's got Hitchcockian elements, an ordinary man who starts to do some very extraordinary things. I quite liked it. What did you think?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. You know, some things you can predict, some things you can't about what happens, but you get really into his story and you get quite excited following it and what's going to happen next. I guess one problem is the French title is The Man Who Wanted to Live His Life. And I did find it slightly bit problematic that he had all these things, like a nice house, kids, wife, but he still wasn't happy. And he'd obviously decided to be a lawyer, but his real heart was a photographer. And perhaps the other thing I was slightly disappointed with was his photographs in the end, when he does show them. I'm not sure they're that great. But beside all of that, you've got a fantastic cast, really, really strong. It's really well paced. You're certainly, you know, there's no kind of bits that you slow the film down in any way. The cast, Catherine Deneuve she's not a huge character really in it, but it's still always a pleasure to see her. But the film really does belong to Romain Duris. He is the powerhouse behind it, and he plays it all excellently, although I still think for a lawyer, his hair's a bit scruffy. Andy?
Well, I have to say, I found him a bit of a kind of whinger. You know, he had all of this stuff going for him, but he's got the kind of face that I think once he starts moaning about things, could do with a good slap. Not to put people off, of course, but so I had a bit of trouble with him as a kind of, I found him a bit of a whingy performance. Well, what I did like about it, which I often find with these sorts of European films, is as you look through the cast list, like you say, Catherine Deneuve's in it, Niels Astrup's in it, who plays the Corsican mob boss in A Prophet, and you're sitting there thinking, oh, so-and-so's not been in it yet. I wonder who they could be. They'll be in it any minute now. And it kind of delivers on that level as well, which I quite enjoyed. It goes around Europe in different locations. I won't say why, but there's some amazingly spectacular locations in the film as well, so it's quite beautiful to look at. And I think some of those real life beautiful locations might be the things that actually overwhelm the character's photographs a little bit. His photographs can't live up to where he's actually living at one point.
I actually looked it up, and at one point it's shot, I don't know if it is really Montenegro, but that's where it is, because there was just the name of a town, so I had to Google it to work out where they were. But all that aside, I think it's a, you know, really strong film, really enjoyable. It's good to see, you know, a really good French film that some good action happens. And although at one point they do have a dinner party and drink too much wine, like, the film is certainly not that all the way through. So that's good positive review from me.
Yeah, I think it's a film I thought felt very like Tell No One, which was quite a popular film from a few years ago. And I really think the audience that like that kind of twist and turn French thriller, where you're never quite sure what's going to happen next, will that kind of audience who like that kind of film will really enjoy this film.
Yeah, I agree. So the big picture, it starts screening here from tomorrow, Friday the 22nd of July. All the times are on our website. And remember, you can buy your tickets ahead of time with no extra booking fee. Okay, Andy, let's do a quick fire. And so following on from the big picture, Andy, what's your best European adaptation of an English language novel?
Well, sticking in the kind of thriller vein, I think I'd have to go for, with the new Almodovar coming up as well in August, I'll go for Live Flesh. Unbelievably, Almodovar's adaptation of a Ruth Rendell novel, not at all like the old Ruth Rendell mysteries from the telly, it has to be said.
And that is definitely one of my favourite Almodovar films. It's fantastic. And I will go for Tell No One, because Andy just reminded me about it before. I really enjoyed that French thriller. Okay, and then maybe best Romain Duris film?
Well, as I was saying, because he's not necessarily my cup of tea, the really big film I can remember him from is The Beat That Skipped My Heart, which he was actually very, very good at. And that kind of whingy persona that I identified before, I think works really well in that film.
I'm pretty sure it was him who, and he started out in The Spanish Apartment.
I think that's right.
So yes, yeah. I'll have that as my favourite film. Okay, well, thank you, Andy. And we'll be back for next week's Film Focus.
Art, film, books, food, drink, all at Corner House, Manchester.
Now, on to celebrate the start of the school holidays. This Saturday, Cinema One is being taken over by, you've guessed it, young people. So, that's right, us oldies, or rather Andy, I'll be there, have stepped aside and our Creative Stars team have taken control and they've programmed the films that have been screened. If you don't know what Creative Stars is, it's a new project we're running here at Corner House where we develop and showcase talents of just under 20 young people around Greater Manchester. They all want to do different things, music, drama, film, visual art, design, and they basically do a series of events over this year that helps them further their development. Our digital producer, Sarah Leach, caught up with a couple of members of the Creative Stars team, Oliver and Paddy, to find out more from them.
Okay, so we've got our Young People's Takeover Cinema Day on the 23rd of July, and I'm with a couple of the Creative Stars team. If you'd just like to introduce yourself.
I'm Oliver, I'm 15, and I'm from Chorlton.
Hi, I'm Paddy, I'm 16, and I'm from Bolton.
So guys, can you tell me a little bit about the Takeover Day that you've produced?
The Takeover Day is called The Good, The Mad and The Funky, and it's going to be on Saturday the 23rd of July, and we're going to show three different films, which are Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Green Lantern and Attack the Block.
So can you tell me why you chose those films?
Well, we each had to choose five classic films and five modern films. The films didn't have to be mainstream. They could be like more rare sort of films. So we chose five of each, and then we each voted on the films that we'd show, and then we picked three out of them, and we had to see which ones were available as well to screen. So yeah, so those are the ones that we came up with.
Was it quite an easy process picking the films, or did some people really want one and not the other, and how did that all work out?
Well, we watched the trailers of each of the films and then we voted, so it was kind of easier to get a grasp of what the films were going to be about, but some people did really want other films, and there were a couple of films that we couldn't have because we couldn't get them for various different reasons, so there was a little bit of disappointment there, but overall everyone was happy with the choices, I think.
So on the day, are you actually going to be introducing any of the films or anything like that?
Well, we had to, if we were interested, we had to put down for that sort of thing. So I put down for introducing and ushering people to their seats as well, so it should be good.
Quite scary, maybe talking in front of quite a large cinema of your friends and family?
I've done things like that before, and it'll be dark anyway, probably, so it should be too bad.
Can you tell us why people should come down to the Takeover?
Because it's the start of the summer holidays, it's fun, it's cheap, and they're films that are quite youthful as well. And I think there may be a possibility that some actors may be coming down from Attack the Block. I'm not too sure, but that may be a possibility.
We'll keep you posted. So, Paddy, which film are you most looking forward to watching?
Well, I think Attack the Block would be, because I watched the trailer and it looked like it's part comedy. And then part action, and I was, because I've been creating films myself and that sort of thing, and I try to blend genres like that together, but they're not like, they're separate, so they're not as a whole like action comedy are, they're like separate things. Yeah, it should be good.
Cool. And with the Creative Stars process, you guys are quite new. It's quite a new scheme, isn't it? How are you finding the whole process, you know, like being able to kind of produce your own cinema takeover day? How have you found it all?
It's really fun because, like, I don't think I've ever got the opportunity to do that before. I mean, I've got the opportunity to explore kind of like acting, presenting, because that's what I want to do. But I've never got to explore the other side and producing it and creating your own show. Normally it's all done by adults, but it's kind of different and really fun as well.
We've got workshops coming up and we've already been to the Tate and the Fact, which were very good. Yeah, and we've got a dance workshop coming up, acting and song creating as well. So should be good. I'm looking forward to it.
So you're going to be getting your dancing shoes on then?
Well, I don't know if I'm quite the dancer, but I'll give it my best shot.
So The Good, the Bad and the Funky, our Young People's Cinema Takeover Day, takes place this Saturday, the 23rd of July from 1 o'clock onwards. If you're a Livewire member, it's just £3 per film, a real bargain. And if you're not a Livewire member, just sign up and then it'll still be £3 per film. And you have to be between 14 and 17 years old. All the other prices are on our website. It's actually not just for kids, Andy. You can actually go. There's a limited number of tickets available for adults.
You're listening to the Corner House podcast, available from www.cornerhouse.org.
Okay, it's time for our What's On guide. This Tuesday, the 26th of July, we've got a special BAFTA TV preview of a new series coming out. It's called Mount Pleasant, and we've got a cast and crew Q&A afterwards. It's filmed on location around Manchester. It's a new comedy drama about a group of 30-somethings as they get caught up in the complicated lives of their friends, workmates, in-laws. It stars British actors Sally Lindsay, you may remember her from Coronation Street, and Daniel Ryan, and they'll both be joining us on the night alongside the writer, director, and also Heat Magazine's TV editor, Boyd Hilton. So that's a very exciting event, and it's this Tuesday, the 26th of July, and it starts at 6:30. Another film out this Friday that's worth mentioning is the American indie film Beginners, and it follows a grief-stricken man who's coming to terms with his mother's death and the fact that his father's coming out as gay. It stars Ewan McGregor and Christopher Plummer. It's well worth checking out. All the times are on our website. And finally, there's just over 2 weeks left to see Magda Archer Crazy Mad. That's our exhibition in Gallery One of all Magda's paintings in various series. They're also for sale and some very interesting work there. So come and join the exhibition, spend some time in her studio, see her amazingly kitsch and fun, but also with a bit of something behind it work. So it's until Sunday the 7th of August in Gallery One. Check the times on our website. Now, we always like to encourage student filmmakers and artists to show their work, and what better way to do it than through the UK's largest festival of student moving image work, Exposures. The festival gives students from across the country the opportunity to screen their work to an audience in the cinema and gain an important insight into how the TV, film and related industries work. So this year, there's a few things changing. So our communications and programme assistant, Ella Swain, finds out more from the co-director of the festival, Isabel Croissant.
Can you tell me more about Exposures Festival?
Yeah, Exposures New Talent in Moving Image is one of the UK's most prestigious student film festival. It's existed for around 17 years now, and it started as a screening of films from Manchester Metropolitan University. Just a couple of screening on a Sunday night, and it's now a national festival that takes place across 3 days in the whole of Corner House, and this year it will take place in February 2012. So this edition, sorry, not this year, next year.
So who can submit films to Exposures?
Any student who's studying at a UK institution right now and who's made a film. Film can be of any genre, as long as they're under 30 minutes. And we've been really pleasantly surprised over the year with the quality of films that students have submitted. And across, as I say, it's across all genres, so it can be moving image work that's very art-focused and experimental, up into computer-generated animation, full-length drama. So the variety is really good.
What's the application process like? How would people submit a film?
It's pretty straightforward. So people go to our website, to www.exposuresfestival.co.uk, /enter in the entering part of our website. There is a form to download. It's one page. It's just to make sure that we have all your details and that people have, you know, checked their copyright, etc., and check that their film is eligible, and send it to us on DVD with the form. There are three deadlines this year because we have responded to people thinking that July was a little bit too hard sometimes. So we've done three deadlines. The early bird is 29th of July. It's early bird, so if you do it in time, the entry fee is only £10, which can be paid via PayPal on our website. It's very simple. But for people who are busy or want to really polish their film and put finishing touch, put the normal deadline at the 26th of August and the latecomer one on the 23rd of September if you really want to enter your film but you really need a little bit more time to edit it.
Can you tell me a bit about the selection process for successful films, films that find their way into the festival?
Yeah, so basically the selection process is the exposure team and guests, juror, who sit in a week for at least 10 hours a day watching all the films and then choosing what would work. So we choose films on several criteria. First of all, it's quality. We just want to really show, you know, the talent that's out there. So if it's a good film that we think people would appreciate watching, it goes in. We also have a look at, obviously, the variety of the programme. So we want to show the full breadth of talent there is. So, you know, films don't need to be high budget and really polished, but there needs to be a spark of talent somewhere. Also, we want to show, you know, the variety of genre and talent there are in the university. So that's to get in the festivals. After that, some films are shortlisted also to receive prestigious exposure prize. These shortlists go to juries of professionals and they are really good higher people. So exposure's patron is Paul Abbott, the scriptwriter and producer who's very well known for Shameless or State of Play. Him and his team are the grand jury and they choose films across the whole selection. We have best drama, best documentary, all the usual categories, I suppose you would say. And of course, there is the audience prize, because you want to show your film to an audience, don't you? And they're the people who you want to judge you.
What sort of work have past winners gone on to do?
Well, we've got quite a big alumni now, having existed for 17 years. So sometimes we discover along the way what past winners have gone on to. So there's a message if you're listening out there and you have been selected for exposures and you want to let us know what you've been up to, get in touch with us. So some past winners have been signed to a video production company such as The Mail and Partisan, who are really kind of high up in the industry. We've also had we've discovered recently that a very ancient alumni person, shall I say, he's not ancient, it was just he was part of exposures a long time ago, has gone on to be associate producer on Four Lions and actually came here to do a Q&A after the film. There's also, for instance, from last year, our Grand Jury and Artist Film and Video Award winner, Max Kimber, has gone on to do really well with her film Cusp, which is, you can have a look, it's been selected for the Royal Academy show this summer, so it should be on show at the moment in London. That's just a little sample, because I could go on for hours. So this year's festival will take place in February 2000, but entries are open now, so send us your film. For all information on how to submit your film, including the application form and the rules on eligibility, you can go to www.exposuresfestival.co.uk/enter. And if you want to get in touch with us for any questions, you can just email exposures@cornerhouse.org.
Thank you very much.
Art, film, books, food, drink, all at Cornerhouse, Manchester.
Right, it's time for our staff recommendation of the week. Every week, one of the lovely Cornerhouse team puts something forward of specific interest that they think you should check out. Let's see what we have this week.
I'm Bren, the Visual Arts Programme Manager here at Corner House. My recommendation this week is to get on down to a commercial gallery here in Manchester called Generation Pop. I don't think that many people actually know it's even there. It's at the base of the tower block at Piccadilly Gardens on the quiet side of the street, on New York Street, which is suitable because this is an offshoot of a New York gallery that specialises in comic book art. So they have an exhibition on at the moment called The Perfect Alliance, which is an exhibition of DC superheroes. So people like Batman and the Green Lantern and Wonder Woman, and of course that's really popular right now with the new superhero movies coming out. We've got the Green Lantern already, Captain America very soon, trailers already leaked online for the likes of the new Batman film, so it seems really pertinent right now. And of course there's the new Batman live stage show, which has premiered in Manchester this week and is going to be travelling the world. So anyone who likes their comic book characters, getting on down to Generation Pop.
Thanks for that. So thank you very much for listening. That's all we've got time for this week. If you want any more information on anything that we've talked about, do check our website, www.cornerhouse.org. Alternatively, you can follow us on Twitter at cornerhousemcr, or you can become a fan on Facebook. And now you will find all our podcasts available on iTunes. So no excuses for not listening. Just search by using the word cornerhouse. See you next week.
You've been listening to the Corner House podcast.